Amen. Well, let me turn this. That'll wake us up. Amen. And if that didn't wake you up, maybe the frost woke you up, huh? What a surprise that was. We had a lot of action on College Avenue and McKenzie last night. It was a busy, busy night. About 12:30, somebody knocked over a telephone pole over at the corner of McKenzie and College, and all the power went out, and the car. I looked out my window, and I'm trying to figure out why the lights were like that. All I could see, because I don't see, but I saw lights, and I thought, that is an odd position for lights. And I couldn't tell if it was a car. I didn't know what. I guess Tim told me this morning that the car that hit it went on its side, and that explained that. I just was so baffled, but I. You know, in the middle of the night, I don't care as much as maybe I should. But anyway, that being a very cold night, it got cold fast because power was out until, I think, probably 6 o'clock this morning. So a little chilly, and of course, Mrs. Rogers, she's out of town. So, you know, I'm suffering a lot. You need to pity me. But anyway, it was exciting. We had all kinds of emergency vehicles down there. Don't they know we're trying to sleep? But I guess the people, I don't know really, but maybe drunk because they, Tim said they got out of the car and took off running. So, do they not understand that we know whose car? Anyway, I never understand all that stuff. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. It is good to see everyone, and what a beautiful day it is, other than the fact that it was a little chilly. But what a great week. Wasn't that amazing? I mean, just such a great week. And praise the Lord for the good temperatures all week long, and just fantastic. I say this every year, and I mean it with all my heart. Every day without snow is a good day. And that's the way I look at it. Well, if you had to drive up that alley every day, you'd know. I mean, it's tough. I suffer a lot, I'm telling you. But anyway, we have Ephesians, lesson number 3. And does anyone need lesson number 3? Raise your hand if you need that. All right, there's one. Very good, there's 2. So a couple folks need that. And we are talking about Ephesians, going through the book of Ephesians, maybe a little faster than we did Revelation anyway. And our theme verse is Ephesians 1:3, but our lesson verse for lesson number 3 is Ephesians 1:7. And so let's go ahead and go through that, and we'll say that, the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, and let's say it again, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. I pray that it would be profitable to our class, that we'll learn some things, but especially, Lord, that we will we'll make decisions. We'll be different because of the time we spend in your word. You said it would not return void, and so that we know the preaching, the reading of it will always have an effect if our hearts are open. So please work and speak to us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Roman numeral 1 was the description, revealing our blessings. Roman numeral 2, the doctrine, realizing our blessings, Ephesians 1:4 through chapter 2 and verse 22, capital A, our possessions in Christ, and that is where we are. Number 1 is from the Father, and then number 2, our possessions in Christ from the Son, and that covers chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. We have already looked at our pardon in verse 7. We looked at our purpose in verse 8. And we come to small c, and that is our portion in verses 11 and 12. Of course, verse 12, we've talked about, as we think about our purpose, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. But that also ties in with talking about our portion. You know, there is a portion that we receive from the Lord and that we will receive, and I call it our inheritance, and that is found in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And notice the words there. It's not something we're just looking forward to. It is something we have already obtained, the Bible says. And then there's our word, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And again, predestination is not something to be afraid of. It is something to rejoice in. It just simply means that if we do what we're supposed to do, if we, for example, if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will go to heaven. We will be forgiven. We will obtain an inheritance, okay? That's all it means. It's not saying that God in heaven went around picking who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. Nowhere. The Bible simply teaches that it's God's will that everybody be saved. God wants every human to be saved. Now, every human does not get saved. We know that. It's God's will. God wants every person to be saved. Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of everybody. Not just a certain group, not just, the religious people. No. He died to pay for the sins of everyone. Everybody can be saved. But the fact is, everybody's not saved. But he said this, if a person gets saved, here's what I am determining will happen. The exciting thing about predestination is, it is God saying, this is going to happen. I am predetermining these things will take place. Nothing is going to stop it. The devil can't stop it. All of hell can't stop it. All of the devil's forces, the world has nothing to do with whatever God says is going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. I love that. I really do. You know, the world, it doesn't like what we're doing. The world, the flesh doesn't like, my own flesh doesn't like what we're doing. You know, we're helping widows, which, by the way, I don't know of anything any more spiritual than helping widows. Amen. Pure religion. James said it, didn't he? Right? Amen. That's what James said, you know. And helping widows the last couple days and helping get rid of leaves and stuff. And my flesh did not like that. My flesh was not happy about that at all. In fact, it's still not too happy with me. But you know what? I'm not here to serve my flesh. I'm here to serve him and to help the Spirit. And though you can feel real good about being a blessing as far as your spirit, your flesh typically doesn't like it when you're a blessing. Amen? And so, again, all these things that our flesh... listen to me, your flesh only stops you from enjoying what God has for you. So again, God's predestination is awesome. So do not let that word scare you. And so this word, inheritance, we like that. You know, we like inheritance. We were so shocked with the inheritance the church received at the first part of this year. I'm sorry, about the middle of the year. And just so amazed at that and amazed that, the whole thing was an amazing thing. But, I start thinking, I wonder if there's, you know, some folks that I know from years and years ago that love me. You think about that. Well, there is one who loves me, and he already has given me an inheritance, and I'm already getting it. So that's what you got to understand. We're already getting it. And that's the Lord. And it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, we're not getting it all right now. In fact, we have the best is still to come. You know, the inheritance that we have, the best is on its way. I mean, seriously, it's an exciting thought. But I want to just show you this verse, and I've broken it down into 3 points. Number one, his inheritance is love. Number two, his inheritance is legal. And number three, his inheritance is lasting. And so some L's there for you. But the first thing, his inheritance is love. It is love. The reason, why do we get this inheritance? Well, because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he just keeps giving. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Amen? All the good gifts, all the wonderful things, all the great. You know, maybe you prayed for nice weather and God gave that. And if he gives bad weather, then there's something good that's going to come out of it. I mean, seriously, as a Christian, I don't know how we can get so negative. Oh, I do now. It's our flesh. Yeah, that's how we get so negative. That's how we, you know, it's the that old sin nature that is wanting whatever sinful, and then God's doing all these good, wonderful, spiritual things, and we get kind of bent out of shape. But his inheritance is love. It says here, in whom also, in whom? How's that? In Jesus Christ, only through his death on the cross, which is all love. It's all love, for God so loved the world. Therefore, because of his death on the cross, we have become children of God. Look at John 1, verse 12. Keep your place in Ephesians. Look over at John chapter 1 and verse 12. And I love this. John chapter 1, verse 12. And all of John, this first part is such a wonderful passage. But just verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and him alone, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There is no other way. And it says, as many as received him, to them, those that received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, children of God. And that is a wonderful thing, because in an inheritance situation, child thing is kind of important. Amen. That's an important thing. And so believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him as our Savior, then we can receive that inheritance. But it's all because of his love. It's because of his love. He didn't have to die on a cross for us. Can you imagine, seriously, had God chosen, he could have just wiped us all out and started over. But he didn't. He didn't. His grace, some people say, well, that's what he did with Noah's Ark. He just wiped everybody out. Well, he didn't wipe everybody out. The Bible says Noah found grace. You know, and that's how I'm saved, by grace. For by grace he is saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, it's God's love. He didn't have to love us, but he chose to love us. By the way, you choose to love as well. Those that you love, you choose to love them. You don't, I just feel tingly. Well, feeling tingly doesn't always last. It doesn't always work, does it? Have you ever felt tingly about somebody one day and not felt so tingly about them the next? Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, we're just not always tingliable. I don't think that's a word, but anyway, and we're not always offering tingly feelings, because we're flesh, right? Yeah, and we don't, yeah. We're just not always fun. I always think of I tell my wife, I say, you know, I want to just make you happy and be thrilling. And the truth of the matter is, if she were to tell you, she'd say, you know, you're not always doing that. I feel bad about that, but you know, love is a choice, and we choose to love, and God chose to love us. And the greatest, one of the greatest verses for how we ought to get along with each other is, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that great? Now that tells me I ought to be able to get along with Dale Bowman, right? You know, no matter what he does. If he does something bad to me, which I don't know that he ever has, but if he ever did, I ought to, you know, if God would love me while I'm a sinner against him, shaking my fist in his face, but he still loved me, then I ought to be able to love anybody. And we ought to be able to put up with each other, shouldn't we? Y'all are kind of tired. It's a cold weather, right? It's setting in, right? I know. Yeah, that's how it is. But thank you, Brother Denias. You had a long drive here today, too. He and I, we have a long way to come to church. Cross that parking lot. It's dangerous. Romans 8, verse 17. Look at it. Keep your place in Ephesians. We'll be back. Romans 8, verse 17. Here's a wonderful thing. Now, again, his inheritance is love, all right, because he loves us. We are the inheritor. But notice Romans 8, verse 17, it kind of gives us an idea. If children, okay, remember, we're sons of God, we're children of God, then heirs of God. Watch this, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, what's a joint heir? Joint heir. That means that whatever is his mine. Parents died, my sister and I were the heirs. Now, I felt like I deserved a whole lot more. But it didn't work that way. We were joint heirs. What's that mean? That means we split everything in half. But in the initial stage, everything that was hers was mine. Everything that was mine was hers. Joint heirs. That's an amazing thing. What a blessing. All that is Jesus's is ours. We're joint heirs with him. I get excited about that. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I love T-bone steak. Praise the Lord. But anyway, all that is his is ours. And again, that is his choice, his love. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth in the scripture. Our problem, we're very, very selfish. He is not selfish. He is the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins. That's an exciting thing. So, number one, his inheritance is love. Number two, and I like this, his inheritance is legal. You ever received an inheritance and found out somebody's fighting over it? You don't have to raise your hand, but it happens all the time. It happens all the time. You know, some person leaves their inheritance to one of the children, and the other children want to know what happened, and you know, for whatever reason, and they fight about that. Well, you better make sure with your inheritance, you better make sure it's all legal. Unfortunately, that's why we have to go to attorneys. And well, I say unfortunately, just because it, you know, whatever they charge per hour, it's kind of unfortunate. But it's best if you do it, because you better make sure it's legal. And here's another thing, as far as God's inheritance, because the Bible said in Romans 8 that you have to be a child. Therefore, you have to be a child of his, and he has to die to receive the inheritance. Now, if you want to give Pastor Rogers a lot of money right now while you're still alive, that's good. That's all right. Let's do that. But that's not an inheritance. That's a gift. Hello? An inheritance takes place when the person who has all the wealth or whatever it may be, that's when they die. And so his inheritance for us is legal. Why is it? Well, because number one, I'm a child. We've proven that. I'm a child by birth, first of all. John chapter 3, so clear in the scripture, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said that he's a great teacher, Jesus said, that isn't going to do it, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You know, these are terms that you hear about, you talk about, but let's understand something. You have to be born again. That's salvation. That is not being born the first time. First time, the Bible says, we're born of water, and our little bodies were in a body of water, and then we were born, and we all understand that. But you have to be born the second time. So somebody says, well, I was born an American, I'm going to heaven. No, you're not, because you're born an American. That does not get you heaven. Well, I was born a Baptist, I'm going to heaven. Well, no, I hate to tell you this, but being born a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. I was born into a good family, and good families are wonderful, and that's good, but no, that doesn't get you to heaven either. You must be born again. that's born of water, Jesus said, and of the Spirit. That's being born from heaven. You have to become a new person. Amen. Again, it's not that difficult, but we need to be, we can prove we are a child by birth. Well, how do you prove it? Well, the Bible says ye may know that you have eternal life. I prove it by the fact that I did what God said I had to do to be born again. I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as my Savior, and I was born again at the age of 17, became a new creature. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. And though I still have this flesh, and I'm not perfect and far from it, thank God I am His child, and I'm His child because of His word. He cannot go against His word. So not only are we His child by birth, we are also His child once we get saved by adoption, which we already talked about in chapter 1 and verse 5. We spent some time talking about adoption. And again, a legal adoption cannot, you can't be disinherited. That's some powerful truth in the Word of God here. And so, child, okay, I pass. I can inherit. Oh, except the one that has the possessions and all of that, they have to die. Well, Jesus did die on the cross to make it totally legal. Oh, the devils fought that. You know, the Bible says that after he died, and then he rose again, you know. Oh, you know, all the arguments and all the fighting and everything else with people trying to disprove. Some said Jesus, you know, he merely passed out on the cross. That is absolutely one of the dumbest theories in all the world. Jesus was beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails. Many, many, many people died from that alone. The cat of nine tails was a vicious, vicious whip that literally ripped the skin in pieces, exposing muscles and tendons, bones sometimes, because literally it would rip the skin from the body, and many died. And then he's nailed to a cross. You know, I again, there is absolutely no question. Scripture backs it up. Many, many ways Jesus died. Now, when the owner of all the possessions dies, the inheritance belongs to the heir at death. By the way, he already died. So the inheritance is, in fact, ours who are saved. I didn't say Baptist. I didn't say a certain religion. That's not it. It's those who are his children the inheritance belongs to. And that happened at his death. And according to Ephesians, it does talk about, and we'll get to this next time, in verse 13, it's sealed. It is sealed. And again, we'll talk about, you can't break God's seal. Sealing, back in those days, they would take a blob of hot wax, and they would put that on a letter or a document, and like much like we might put a stamp or something like that, and they'd put that wax on that document, and the king would take his ring and would put his marking that told everybody the king sealed this, and to remove that seal meant death. Well, God has sealed this legal process, and therefore his inheritance is legal. And that inheritance belongs to whoever he said it belonged to. And according to his testament, does anybody know what a testament is? Does anybody, you ever see your will? You ever see your will? Anybody ever read, you haven't read your will? You might want to someday. Anyway, it does say last will and testament. And so God's testament tells us that we are, in fact, the inheritors, not because of anything we did, not because we're special. By the way, you ever think about, you know, good old Aunt, I started to say Wildersmere, but that's always a man's name. So how about Uncle Wildersmere? He, you know, he left you $1,000, and you say, wow, I didn't even know Uncle Wildersmere. I don't even remember him. I mean, I think the last time I saw Uncle Wildersmere, I was a little baby. And what in the world's he do? He left me that and I didn't deserve. Oh yeah, inheritance typically is not about who deserves it. You ever heard of people leaving things to their dogs or their cats? I never have totally understood that at all. I mean, we had a dog, and you could say you love your dog, I suppose. You might say you love your cat. I would question that as to why. But anyway, we don't deserve the inheritance. But that doesn't change the fact that we are the inheritors. Amen? And you can't break God's seal. By the way, not only the legality here of this is, it is quite exciting, but I do want to remind you of 1 John 2 and verse 2. 1 John 2, 2, which says, talking about Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins. Wait a minute, 1 John, wait a minute. That is also a good point, but I think I want verse 1. Yeah, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, there's a good word, advocate. You ought to circle it, underline it, put little doodads beside it in your Bible. Advocate, what's that? That's our defense attorney. He's our attorney. So Jesus is not only the one that's giving us the inheritance, he's also the joint heir with us, and he's also the attorney representing us. That's pretty good. Pretty good guarantee on that inheritance. Now, we come to number three, and that is his inheritance is lasting. Now, this is going to be for all eternity. You do understand, all right? His inheritance is lasting. It is according to verse 11, chapter 1 of Ephesians, it is based on his own will. After the counsel of his own will. And so here's how most inheritances come about, is the people that set up the will. My wife and I don't know how many years ago we set up our will. We probably ought to look at ours one of these days. And anyway, we set up our wills, and right now I remind our children all the time, we are leaving you all of our debts. They're not as excited about that, but anyway, but we sat down, we talked about, okay, how do we want to do this? It was kind of easy with two kids; it makes it a little more simple. But we also are leaving 10% to the church, so the church will inherit 10% of our debts. Anyway, but. Boy, that's a bad deal. But anyway, but we sat down, we talked about, that's why, again, his own will is, that's our will. You see, I just always thought that was a legal name. No, it's your desire. It's what you want to do. All right, it's what you want, how you want to deal with after you die, because it's hard to talk after you die. They don't ever, I've never seen anybody take a casket, wheel it into a meeting room, and everybody sit down and talk about, okay, what are you going to leave us? You know, you get, okay. So the Lord sat down and he said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. If these people trust Jesus, my son, if they call upon him, trust in his death on the cross, to pay for their sins, if they call upon him to save their soul, he said, I'm going to leave them everything. Isn't that good? I love it. That's his will. This is what he chose to do after the counsel of his own will. Philippians 1:6, I always run out of time. Isn't that terrible? Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is going to happen. Amen. No doubt about it. It will happen. Whatever he started in me when I got saved at the age of 17, now 40 years later, boy, that sounds like a long time. 40 years later. Everything he said was going to happen, it has happened, it is happening, and it will happen, just like he said. I love that. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's what it ought to be. A living, lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, we shall live. Amen. Death is not going to, it'll wrap its bony, nasty, cold fingers around you for a while. But we live, amen, eternity to an inheritance, it says. Isn't that good? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that good? You ever have a car that you really liked? I had a 74 Pontiac Firebird. I really liked that car. I wish I had that today. You say, where is it? Oh, it's probably in a dump somewhere, either compacted into a cube or it's rusted out so bad you can't even, that's what everything does. You know, look at some of these houses, you know, some of these dilapidated houses all around Adrian, buildings and everything. Do you know there was a day those were absolutely the most beautiful buildings in the world? Now look at them. Yeah. You know, there was a day you looked in the mirror and said, wow, look at that. And now you look in the mirror and say, what is that? Right? It's because everything fades away. But everything we get from him does not fade away. Do you know when you lead a soul to Christ, that person's going to be with you all through eternity? Isn't that something? It gets quiet on me. And it says, here's why, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, who are kept by the power of God. That's good stuff. Ushers, if you'll come, we'll go ahead and collect the offering. I'm going to hurry. So, I want you to see the past, the present, and the future of this inheritance. And again, it starts the past. The key word in verse 11 is that word, being predestinated. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. All right, it's predetermined. God knew that people would get saved. God knew that you would get saved. Based on that, he said, I will give you my inheritance. And I received that when I got saved. So much happens when we get saved. That's why we call this section about doctrine. Because doctrine is just teaching us all the things that we didn't know. And now we can know. And one of the things that we receive when I was 17 years old and I bowed my head at the foot of my bed and begged God to save my wicked, filthy soul, he saved me. But I also started receiving his inheritance. Amen? That was predetermined. God said that's going to happen. You ever hear of parents? And I've seen this happen several times, but the parents die, and the child is under 18. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe they had a lot of money, a pretty good amount of money. And so they left that to the child. Well, the child has to wait until they're 18. Now, wait a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. But they wait till they're 18, and then it's all theirs. Okay? But here's the deal. In every case that I know of, anyway, they waited till they're 18 or 25 in many cases. And by the way, I would always recommend 25 because 18 is way too young. But if it's enough, that inheritance takes care of all their needs today. Are you with me? Usually there's a trustee or someone appointed that will make sure all those child's needs are taken care of now. But my God shall supply all your need. Isn't that good? I like it. Amen. All their need. And let me tell you, he has enough to take care of it. He definitely has enough to take care of all our needs. Praise the Lord for that. But that's not all there is to it, because that's what he did in the past, but the present is this. 1 Peter 3, just about done. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. You thought that was good. Watch this. I like it that he takes care of my needs. 1 Peter 3 And we'll just look at verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. See that? Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That means today. That means now. That means God gives me blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. It just amazes me, all of God's blessings. So in the past, God predestinated, said this is going to happen. In the present, it's happening. Taking care of all my needs, plus he's giving me blessings. All my needs are met, plus I'm getting blessings. It's good, isn't it? But then there's the future. And verse 14 gives us a little hint of that, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And we can't even imagine heaven. We just can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, seriously, I want you to think about this. You know, heaven, streets of gold, mansions that are beyond anything we could imagine, you know, green grass. I suppose if you like snow, maybe you can have an environment of that around you. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, so I can only guess. The Bible doesn't say Pastor Rogers has a chocolate lake in front of or behind my mansion. It doesn't say that, but I kind of think that way at the corner of Hallelujah Boulevard and Glory Lane. I'm hoping, you know, there will be some type of, or maybe just a chocolate fountain, like a continual eternal fondue deal. But I don't know. I'd Brother Denias, honestly, after all these years, I would take a sugar lick out back. Amen. Just go anyway. So you get the point. But you know, and we think of heaven, and of course, obviously, no sickness, no disease, no brown spots on the face, no eyes full of leaf dust, no throat full of leaf dust, no aches and pains, right? Amen. No glasses, no braces, no metal knees, hip joints, none of that, right? That's all good. No sin. Amen. That's all good. No sin. No temptation to sin. No wickedness. Nobody cussing and swearing and, you know, being gross and everything. None of that. But I want you to just think about this, and we'll close with it. If, I don't know, I've received, my parents, when they died, obviously, my grandparents, we had some inheritance there. But here, what could be, okay, so somebody leaves you something, maybe a car, maybe some money, whatever it is. Have you ever thought, oh, I wish I could thank them? You ever kind of think that, but you know they're gone, and maybe you found out. It's kind of like our inheritance church guy. You know, I remember visiting him, and I didn't know him that well because he moved to Florida not long after we came. But I think, man, I'd like to thank that guy. Well, wouldn't that be something? I'd sure like to see him. He obviously loved us enough, right? And whenever somebody left you, maybe it was Uncle Cecil. And he left you, so I don't know, you know. But whatever it was, he obviously, wouldn't you like to see him? And you know what's wonderful about heaven? We're going to see him. The Lord Jesus, the one who made it all possible. And the only thing better than the place is the person in the place. And we'll see him. And you know what? You don't have to wait till then to thank him. You can thank him today. You can thank him now. For all that he does, all he's done, and all he will do for you. Let's bow our heads, please.